But let's start again at verse number 20 and verse number 21 from John
12.
Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast, and then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee. It was in their area, as to where the Gentiles would hang out, and asked him. It's a question. It's a serious question. If we take it seriously, it's the most important question in all of the world, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Here's my question, my brothers and my sisters in Christ. Here's my question unto the sinners and unbelievers that are in our midst. Do we wish to see Jesus for who he truly is? Are we stuck on our traditions and only trying to be religious? Are we happy with what we have learned, even though it may be wrong? Are we interested in the truth of Jesus more than anything else? God Almighty, He gives that desire, that inspiration to want to ask and know who Jesus is. He gives it into the heart of His true people. That rich man named Zacchaeus in Luke 19, the tax collector, he had that desire. And the scripture says of him in the book of Luke 19 that verse number 3 and 4, he sought to see Jesus, who he was, who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. And so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way.
Zacchaeus, he draw like he Jesus. He shall go can. He has a nya. He never should talk by Muli Tegu. He has a nikili Jesus. He has a holy.
This rich man was going to perish if he didn't get to Jesus.
Ananae, he might be lino. He might be Jesus.
But he did get to Jesus.
Amai, he would go Jesus.
He saw him for who he truly is.
He holy and that Jesus.
If you and I want to see Jesus today, this passage in John 12, it unfolds clearly who he really is. And if we don't have this, we perish. Let's go back to John 12 and verse number 22 and verse number
23.
It says that Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them saying, If you really want to see me who I am, the hour has come that the Son of Man must be glorified. The glorification of Christ is His suffering in this world to save sinners. He did not come down here in order to make money, but to save men's souls. He was plenty rich up in heaven, but from my understanding, He doesn't spend money in heaven. He didn't come down here to save men from poverty, or He would have sent a banker. He came to save men's souls. To give up His life for the salvation of many. Is to give up His sin atoning blood, to give up His life, to bear the sins of many, to save sinners from the wrath of God. And to make us holy in the sight of God so that we can worship Him and be happy forever. Holiness is happiness. Holiness is happiness. If you and I get holiness by the power of God's Holy Spirit, we are the happiest human beings that we can be on earth. I've given up my money. I've given up California. I've given up things that can be taken away for something so much better that can never perish. And you all can have that too. I have so much on my tongue. But I want to be led by God and not myself. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verse 24. Most assuredly, here's the gospel. This is what the gospel is all about. This is what the Son of God is all about. I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls, not money, falls into the ground and dies, it stays alone. But if it dies, it brings forth fruit. Don't tell me that's money, that's souls. He came for the souls of men, not what's in your pocket, what's in here in your life, your heart. He came for you and for me, and He wants us, and He died to get us, not our money.
Not
our money. His precious blood. He did not redeem us with a bank draft. It was not a POS alert. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot or blemish. The infinite price of the value of God laid down His life and died. That's what He gave up. And if He wanted us rich, we would be rich instead of poor. Because He did not fail. And He makes people holy without fail. He saves people without failure. He has no failure in him. There's no if. There's no trying with God. When he does something, he does it. And he laid down his life to get many people. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. The Son of God, he put away our sin. And he reconciled us back unto God. And the riches of heaven and the riches of the kingdom are ours, and they are God. The pleasure of eternity is ours. Holiness and happiness are ours. I've never been poorer in my circumstances. I've slept in places a lot worse than this. This is a mansion. I've been spoiled the whole time that I've been here. If your wife has been cooking with your daughter, I've slept pampered. But this is the lowest condition I've ever lived in my life in Nigeria, Africa. And my heart is big and happy and glad and proud to be here, and so thankful I get to serve God because he gives the joy of the Holy Ghost. That's what this life is all about. It's not about my stuff. It's what's in here. What's in here? God in here. That's what it's about. Not filthy rags. Yeah. That's where he dwells, in the broken and contrite heart. That's what he doesn't despise. Who can buy God? Who can pay off God? Who can give a ransom? Does he need our naira? All the cattle on 1,000, his are his. If he were hungry, he said, I wouldn't tell you. I do everything myself, he says. I'm the self-existing God. I create out of nothing. I make it happen. I desire it, and it comes to pass. And the Apostle Paul, he suffered, and he was hungry unto make you and me rich in Christ. To show us the unsearchable riches of Christ. To show us the sufficiency of Christ. No matter the trial, that I will not complain, Paul says. In all of my epistles, all of my sufferings, I'll say nothing against the Son of God. But I'll say, rejoice in the Lord always, even when I'm in prison for my life. He's not complaining about money. He said, no church communicated with me about giving, but the church that was in Philippi. And he told them, I don't even tell you this as if I'm lacking something. I just want fruit to abound on your account. Hear me on this, please. If I preach about giving just to get your money, I'm a false prophet with a false motive and a false heart. I preach about giving because it's in the Bible and I want fruit for you, not my stomach. My God provides my needs. And if He doesn't, I die hungry unto His glory, or I go get a job. I don't take from God's people out of covetousness and greed. I don't smile in your face just to get some money out of your maw. That is extracting from a widow, and it's banished by God. It's banned by God. It's wrong for a man of God to take. He's to give. It ain't about money. It ain't about money! God wants something more than your money and my money. He wants our life, our heart, and our worship. No matter what He does unto us on earth, He wants us to worship. That's what His Son did. That's what His Son did. Verse number 25 is the terms and conditions. He who loves his life is not about money. If you care about you more than the glory of God, you can't be saved. If you or I care about ourselves more than God's glory in the gospel, we can't be saved. If the most important thing in my life is my life, I'm not a Christian. I'm not a child of God. If my interests and concerns are about me, I'm not following the Son of God. Give up your life. The whole thing. The terms of discipleship is give it all up to Him, and He'll give you something better. It's the true gospel. This is true gospel. Stop telling people you come to Christ and you're gonna be rich and have no troubles. Oh, you come to Christ, He's gonna take your whole life and take over. And you're gonna do according to His will, if it's in health or sickness, richness or poverty, He doesn't care as long as He gets the glory. God wants glory. He's going to get glory out of each one of us. He who loves his life, oh, hear me well, he will lose it. If you love yourself, you'll lose your life in hell. And he who hates his life in this world and turns it over unto the Master, he will get it, he will keep it, and he will gain it, and he'll get more. If you think that this is where I plan to be when he restored my soul? I didn't want to preach, much less be a missionary. But my life is His. I found out that He's in control, and He tells me and you what to do and where to go and what to think and what to wear and how to spend our money and what to eat for breakfast. All of it. He's a master. I'm His servant. That's how you gain life. Oh, you follow Him. He'll give you life eternal. And the joy of following Him and being with Him now. He's a rewarding God. But it's not silver and gold. Peter, you leave your fishing business. It's booming. I want you to leave it. Even though you can't pull up the nets for so many fish, you leave it and come follow me. And I'm going to make you catch people. James and John, you got to sell that business to follow me. They got power after they came to Christ. Name me one person in the New Testament that got more money after he came to Christ. Name me one. There were rich believers.
Right?
What did they do? They gave it away, they laid it at the apostles' feet, and said, use that to help somebody. Help them because God helped me. They gave it away and got power as they came to Christ. Ask Barnabas, he gave it away, and he got to follow the apostle Paul. He upgraded and became a preacher of the gospel. Oh, the money was gone. Oh, but the heart was full. And the mouth was filled with Christ. And other people are being helped. And they said, he's a good man. He taught them to stick with the grace of God. And he encouraged them. And they said, he's a good man sent by God. He helped us. He helped us. He didn't help our money. He helped us. That's on the inside, because that's who I am. It's in here. It's not in my pocket.
Verse 26.
He's a good God and he's a rewarding God. If anyone serves me, if they really do, if they give up their life and follow me, if they walk by faith in the forgiveness of sins and the power of the Holy Spirit, if they live a holy life by my power and my giving it to them, let them follow me. And where I am, it's my servant, he will be also. And if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Oh, what's the honor that God gives you? It's God. And more of God. And even more of his joy and peace as you get more holy in your character and conduct and conform unto Jesus Christ. It's the more he strips us and the more that we decrease and become nothing and see the glory of the sovereign Son of God, how he saves us, helps us up, makes us holy, the more that we get to see the pure in heart do see God. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you. The more that we become selfless and become like him, the more we get from God. Oh, there's a man that's out in the U.S. He's in North Carolina. Every time it's his business, it collapses, he has to stop giving with tears. And every time it prospers, he pushes the envelope until he's almost giving too much in my eyes. He said, brother, I can only do this amount. Next time I hear from him, I can do a little bit more. Now look, brother, this is all that I can give. I've never asked him for money, never asked anybody for money. Brother, this is all I can give. And this morning, it's an alert. I can give a little bit like this, brother. I can do this. And this man, if he's doing it by faith, he's seeing God. He's loving God. He's loving God's people. He's being useful in the ministry of the gospel. His money is going for something. It's called your souls. He's after you all the way back in North Carolina. He's chasing you down. He's a part of the ministry. All the way there, he's here. He's here. He's here. The eternal God, He does give us money so we can give. He says to command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty and proud. I hate to say this. I hate to say this, but I believe a rich Nigerian can be a haughty creature. If they don't know God, it's almost like the peacock with all its feathers, just strutting around and just strutting around and misusing all the people. Oh, all the sirs and ogas just sucking it up. But if you're a rich believer, is command those not to be haughty nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. He's willing to share. And he's willing to give. But everybody does not get rich in the kingdom of God. Right? What did Paul tell the slaves? Is it that you're going to be rich and you're going to be free? No, he said,
no.
Is he said, serve your master. And if your master is a believing child of God, you serve him even better. He did not say, if you got rich enough faith, then you'll have rich enough money. The apostle Paul had more faith than all of us put together. And he was homeless and had a job. The great apostle Paul, he was a tent maker because he refused to promise money if they gave money.
Oh.
Watch out now. 1 Timothy 6, verse number 5. After talking unto us about slaves obeying their master, he makes this statement. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. It's the useless wranglings, the useless friction of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. They have no truth. Huh? Who suppose, what's it say? Who suppose that godliness is what? A way to get money. It's a way to get. If I tell you that being godly is going to make you rich, I'm a false prophet. I'm a false teacher.
So
that's what it says. That's what it says. Are you hearing me well? Let me be crystal clear. Any man or woman who says, if you serve God, then you're going to be rich and happy in this world and healthy, is a liar. That's clear? That's clear in the Bible. And it's clear in our experience. Some of the holiest people in this room are struggling with health and wealth. What's that got to do with anything? What's that got to do with anything? My body condition. Am I holy? Then I'm happy. Is that simple? You serve God, you'll get God. You give your life to God, He will give you life right back. You give it all up to God, and He will give you more Himself. But the more is spiritual, it's not physical. Hear me on this. I could run away from God, and if He didn't treat me like Jonah, I could make more money than I'm making now. Did you know my salary? Huh?
No,
I thought she said faith. That's a good answer. I thought she said faith. It is faith. Faith. I have no salary. No human being on this earth owes me any money at the end of the month. And the people who give, they just do it freely. It's our organization. If we do medical missions 3, 4, 5, 6 times a year, it's all over Nigeria. And you have free medical. Free. It's the place that we went, that's last month we did 200 surgeries. And you know how many people are on our staff? Me. And our unpaid sister, Adhezi Oputa, the Igbo girl that gave up her money and the love of it. She's unpaid. You hear me? She arranges all these meetings. She's unpaid. Huh? And I give her something if I have something extra, but the ministry of the gospel comes first. She's unpaid. She's a volunteer. She's doing it for the kingdom of God. You hear me? You hearing me? And guess what she gets? God. And she gets and to be holy and to love people. And she gets the joy of serving your immortal souls. And the Holy Spirit comes and He gives us peace if we do it for the right motive, which is His glory alone. He'll pay you back with a wonderful life. Happiness, joy, peace. And it's a struggle. It's a struggle. There's a war coming too. Verse number 27. Up to verse number 29. Now my soul is troubled, our Lord Jesus said. Do you want to see who I truly am? He's still answering the question. I've got to die and this is hard on me. My flesh and blood doesn't want to do this. I don't want to go to hell on that cross to save my people. But I know I got to, so I want to more than I don't. I gotta go! I gotta go. It's not all cake and candy. Now, now. Now my soul is troubled, but what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, no, no. But for this purpose, I came unto this hour. It's going unto the cross. That's why I'm here. Father, glorify your name with me. Kill me on the cross. Let me die for my people and save their immortal souls. Give me the power to endure the cross for your glory. Your glory. Your glory. That's all I'm after. It's the glory of God. All he cared about was the glory of God, not himself. Not himself. Oh, what a happy man. What a holy man. What a God-blessed man. And what a reward he's got. And me and you, we get it too. We turn over our life too. We struggle too. We obey in hard times too. We do it too in our own way. Through Christ Jesus. Oh, me and you in our hour of weakness and temptation and need and hunger and poverty and our jealousy at our friends, our love of the world, me and you, we get to go to God the Father through the name of Jesus and the precious blood and say, Father, help me obey you. Help me honor you. That's right. I've struggled to obey God. I've had times I didn't want to. Very recently, I didn't. I want to go back and make money. It's a temptation to love this world. But this is why you sent me into this world. Oh, Abba, glorify your name with me. Use that prayer too, sister. Through the blood of Christ, me and you can go to Him helpless in our time of need. And He'll help us. He'll help us. He'll help us to obey. That's the treasure of the kingdom. To obey God is as high as it gets. No matter what happens on earth. Simon Peter, the hour is coming that they're going to stretch you out and carry you where you don't want to go. Follow me. Oh, and that was his happiest hour. After he entered heaven, and he stepped back and looked, and he said, I got to glorify God when I die. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, people, come rejoice with me. He let me glorify Him in death. And I died on the cross like my master did. I honored Him. That's glory. That's glory. Oh, that's glory. To have a whole eternity in heaven and think I glorified Him on earth. Oh, hallelujah. What a God. What a blessed privilege to suffer for Him. If you got that, I think you got it. To do anything for Him. Who redeemed us from our sin. Who broke the bondage of our sin. Oh, then a voice came from heaven saying, oh, I don't want you to suffer, Christ. I just want you to be rich and happy. Just tell me what you want. Just declare and decree. And anything you want, I'll just be doing it for you. Is that what the Father said? Oh no. It was a man named Miles Monroe. You heard of him? He stretched his mouth and said, this man said that that God can do nothing on earth except man give him permission. He opened his mouth and said that. And you know how he died? Did you know how he died? You know how he died? I hope he had time enough to pray unto God in repentance and say, I'm wrong and I've been a sinner. I hope he had time enough to say that, or he's burning in hell. Or he's burning in hell. Man does nothing except God gives him permission. He can't even stretch forth his hand to nail Christ on the cross except it was written in Scripture. And all those times they tried to kill him, and he said, my hour is not yet come, and walks through their midst. It wasn't on track. It was not in the schedule, man. You have to hold off until my time appointed to die. He was in control of that cross. Men did it with wicked hands according to the predestined plan of God. Right?
Yes.
Acts chapter 2, verse number... Acts 2... Man can't do anything without God. Man, he decrees nothing except what God has already said in Scripture. It is God who speaks and it happens. And God alone. Acts 2:23, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. That's God's action. That's God's activity in the cross. He planned it for our redemption. You have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. And he turned the whole thing upside down.
No, let's not call it. Let me move it down.
What looked like a tragic defeat. It was victory. He won the battle when he put away our sins. And when you look back again in the book of John 12, he said, I have both glorified it and I'll glorify it again. Because the Father is all about his own glory. Is the glory of sending his son to be our redeemer. It's the glory of punishing him to pay for our sins. That makes God to be just and holy to show mercy. He can touch us and still be a holy God. Because his blood has taken away our sin. He can forgive us and show us mercy. He has justified himself at the cross. That's why it's not called self-righteousness, it's the righteousness of God. He has a right to show us mercy. No matter how filthy me and you are or what we have done. And then he glorified it again by raising his son up from the dead and putting him at the throne of glory at his right hand.
Christ,
Verse 29, and therefore the people who stood by heard this voice that sounded like thunder. I want you to remember this. They heard it and said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken unto him. And then Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me. I already know God hears me. It's for your sake. Now, this is the judgment of this world. Now, the ruler of this world, he will be cast out. How was, and I want to answer, how was the ruler of this world cast out? I've already explained it. As I got a little ahead of myself and I explained it, but did you hear it? Who is the ruler of this world he's talking about in that verse? Who is the God of this world, but it's with a small g? And how was Satan cast out? The accuser of the brethren is, and he is cast out. I think this will help us. It's from Revelation chapter 12. I hit this, and then I'll hit my last point. The accuser has been cast out because he has no right to accuse me and you any longer. That's good news, isn't it? I saw you perk up. It's from Revelation 12, verse number 10 and 11. This is the scene that took place in heaven after the after the ascended Christ, after the cross, after he said it is finished. He met that thief in paradise, and he was at the throne already and had cast out Satan by the time the thief got there. Revelations 12:10-11. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God, why? Our sins, both day and night, has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, that's the gospel, and they did not love their lives unto death. Satan has no right to accuse me and you in the sight of God because our sins are paid in full. We get to go to God in prayer. Our time of need. Are your sins gone? All of them? Is he ever going to cast you out over your sins? Is the Father ever going to accuse you with condemnation over your sins? He won't let the devil accuse you. He certainly won't accuse you himself. No more condemnation. No more accusations in Christ Jesus. Paid in full. Paid in full. Paid with the blood. Paid totally. There's forgiveness and cleansing that's for me and you. He'll give us holiness and pardon for our sins. You come to God with your sins and He gives you forgiveness and cleansing. He makes you and I holy after an encounter with His love. Is that true? Are you burdened? Cast that burden into the blood of Christ. Look to Christ and say, He did enough. Oh, I felt so guilty in the sight of God for so long because I thought He didn't do enough. I thought He left a little part unto me. I thought He was looking at me and saying, I'm so disappointed with you. But God was looking at Jesus Christ with His blood just to be in a relationship. It cost the blood of Christ. Right? But that blood has bought the full thing. The full thing. The full self. That blood has bought face-to-face contact with God in reconciliation and friendship. Friends of God! Friends of God! Friends of God! Huh? Friends of God. That's right. Friends of God. That's what Abraham was. Abraham had faith, right? He's friend of God. He's friend of God. And me and you have faith, right? And so we're friends of God. Is He ever going to cast us out? Is He ever going to forsake us? No way. The accuser of the brethren has been cast out. He overcame them at the cross. Now is the judgment. Now is the God of this world cast out. He broke the devil's back as He forgave our sins with His blood. He said, I paid in full. There's no condemnation. There is no fear mongering. Set the captives free, He tells us. Let my people go that they may serve me. You with me? You still hearing? It's the last point. Back to John 12. It's important. It's important. Verse 33, this He said, signifying by what death He would die. Verse number 34 through verse number 36, and I'm finished. have some pity on me. Of all the fans in the building, I don't get one.
Hey, don't go on.
Oh, pity me. But I get to preach the gospel. Verse number 34, please.
Oh, my royal man.
The people answered Him after all that He said about His glory and dying for sinners. After Lazarus has been raised from the dead in chapter 11, and He's at the table with Christ in chapter
12.
After the voice spoke from heaven and some said it thundered, others said it was an angel. After all that, the people answered Him, as we have heard from the law that Christ must remain forever, and how can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Over contempt. Oh, the disregard of his person. Oh, the hearing in one ear and out the other. Oh, the turning of their back at his commands and his word. Oh, the rejecting of eternal life. I'm looking in the back because I want to wake you up. If your neighbor's there and he's sleeping, you might help him out. Help save his soul. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, to hear this great gospel that we have heard preached and to ask nothing but stupid questions is to go to hell. There are good questions. It's the woman at the well was agitating me as I read her questions. Agitating me, not Jesus. He's patient. He's patient. But her questions, they led her to Christ. We have heard that the Messiah is coming. I'm he. He revealed himself to her because she wanted to know him. At the beginning, I asked the question. It's in the text. Do you want to see Jesus? If you do, there's no more questions asked. Just trust him. Put your life into his hands. Then Jesus said unto them, verse 35, a little while, guess a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness, he who rejects the gospel, he who turns his back on what he's heard this day, does not know where he's going. He's blind. He has closed his eyes, and he's fixing to walk off a cliff into destruction of the wrath of God. Don't do that. Don't close your eyes. Because you have enough evidence, right? Everybody knows that this is the Christ. Everybody knows I preach the true gospel. It's time to take hold of Christ. It's time to embrace him. It's time to throw away our religion and everything about us that's wrong. Just cast it out. It's time to quit with the tricks. It's time to quit playing games. It's time to get serious. It says the while you have it is while you have the light. Believe in the light that you may become sons of the light. For he says, 2 Corinthians 6:2.
In
an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. I will do it. Behold, now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't go anywhere and wait until tomorrow. Don't say, I'll believe that truth later. Don't say that there was these 9 things he said that are true, but there's still one I'm not so sure about. You take those 9 and you embrace them. And the one that you're not sure about is you ask God and he'll show you. If it's important, he'll show you in his own time. But you take those 9 things that you know are true.
Hmm?
Preach the right gospel, right? If we do that, he'll save us. Oh my soul. I was dead wrong when a man came in preaching the gospel. I had to leave behind everything I had ever heard and learned for the salvation of my soul. I was a preacher. Because it was true what he was saying. And it was giving glory unto God and none unto man. And it brought me and you into a state of obedience by faith and not by works. Not self-righteousness, but the righteousness of God. The forgiveness of sins and a holy life. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. And here is the warning. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them.
Jesus, will come my
He said, I'm going to talk unto you no more. He said, I'm tired of all your questions. He said, you didn't believe in me when you had the light presented unto you. And now I'm going to leave and you're going to be worse off instead of better. Hear me well. When the Lord Jesus comes into our meeting, in our midst, and me and you, if we leave worse off, it'd be better for us to never be born. I'm telling you to take Christ. Trust Christ. Put your faith in Christ. And give up everything for Christ. And he'll give you something so much better. That's not of this world. It's out of this world. It's in the heavens. And it's in your heart. By faith. And he's bringing you there to spend eternity with him in the riches of heaven. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more struggling. There'll be no more temptation. There'll be no more poverty. There'll be no more sickness.
Oh God,
there'll be no more death. That place is coming forever with God. He's going to make us holier and happier than we could ever imagine. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.